Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, unexplained music of another time and place haunts a home and scares a family. People appearing to be from a different time period are seen visiting the graves of a cemetery only to vanish into thin air. And two friends see the same ghostly entity at two completely different locations at the same time. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in. Share your ghost story anytime, 24/7. Also, Facebook group, make sure you go check that thing out. That has a lot of folks talking about the episodes on there. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online group. And, of course, you want to get the bonus episodes, become an EPP over at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today. It's been a marathon of the last day or two for both of us. And we're, like, literally just now sitting down here to do the show. And I think we're both kind of out of breath.
I know. Actually, I've been like this for about a week.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when it gets just nonstop.
Yeah.
That's been me. But you just literally walked in your house 15 minutes ago.
I did. Literally. We were on the road all week long. Left last Monday. Got back literally 5 minutes ago. And it was just literally run out of the car, get down here, get all the computers booted up. And yeah, it was. And I was planning on having a little more of a time window between jumping out of the car and getting on the air. But then this afternoon, I'm usually pretty good at planning and giving myself a buffer. And I guess the buffer did kind of work because I did have to use it because we had a tire blowout in a smaller town in Arkansas. And I love Arkansas. I think Arkansas gets a bad rap a lot of times when people bring up Arkansas. There's a lot of beautiful places. But there's something with some of their streets in some of these cities. I don't know what it is, but I swear to God, the lanes that the width of the lanes, I think were with someone who made them was driving a Geo Metro, and that's all they knew. They think only cars were Geo Metros because they're so narrow.
Well, it's probably because when they designed the road back then, just had horse and buggies.
It was for Model Ts and horse and buggies.
Exactly.
And I was literally just driving down a straight path, and I could have just hit myself because it was such a stupid move, but it was literally, like when you're driving in a tunnel and everything's really tight? That's what the roads are like. And if you just slightly veer for any reason at all, squirrel, you're screwed. And I did, and my tire just nicked the little bit of a curb there, and then all of a sudden you can hear the air coming out on the side. I'm like, oh God. So got into a gas station and got it all taken care of, but it held me back by about an hour in 95 degree heat. I don't know how to change a tire with two children and a wife. Yeah, so that was my afternoon. Good times. How about you?
I just got back from Denver.
And that was exciting. I saw some of your pictures on Facebook.
Yes, it was. I went to the Molly Brown home because I love history, and it was fascinating. The woman was absolutely fascinating. But, you know, you just hear kind of the caricature of her. Mm-hmm. I didn't know she spoke six languages. And she was this amazing person who cared very deeply about people in the world. It was just really interesting to see her home.
She wasn't just the lady from Titanic.
No, because in my brain, I see her as Kathy Bates.
Sure.
And she was not Kathy Bates.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would think of as well. Now, let me ask you this. With the Molly Brown home, do they have, are there rumors? Do they play the haunting angle up at all? Or is it not at all? It's just the history of her.
They did not at all.
Okay.
So what, of course, that makes me want to do when I get a minute is kind of research it and see what other people have to say.
Sure. Because
when you're in a house like that, I don't know how there's not spirits in it.
Mm-hmm.
But especially like it's got some of those creepy old pictures. But when you're with a group of people, you don't know. You know,
sure.
We got people from all over the world in my little group of 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another group of 20 in the house. So I don't think you could ever pick up on anything. But, man, it was fascinating.
That sounds cool. I didn't know if they ran the ghost line with her or not. Because there seems to be, I mean, obviously all different stories. I had no idea that in real life she was not known as Molly Brown or that ended up being.
No, her name was Margaret. It was something like Margaret Tubin Brown, something like that.
And so she really didn't meet Jack on the boat, and that whole story of them
no,
together.
No, I hate to
I'm
tell you
so
that.
I'm so disappointed.
They took some literary license with that story.
Oh, that's such bullshit. I really thought that all happened just verbatim, like literally.
Okay, well, at least you feel better knowing that even though Jack's dead, he never did exist.
But
so that helps you at all with that.
But did you know that there was a Jack Dawson grave on Titanic? So
there
was a man named Jack Dawson, but nobody knew who he was or any whereabouts. No one ever claimed his body. But it is in Canada up at the museum. And I was there on my honeymoon and I couldn't tell you the name of the city off the top of my head because Halifax, the grave is there. And the Jack Dawson, I don't know if when they made the movie, they wanted to kind of play a little bit off of reality. And well, what's a grave? What's a person that really had nobody connected to them family-wise that we could use their likeness? But there was Jack Dawson on the boat. So there you go.
Well, look at him. Then all those years later, Leonardo DiCaprio.
The more
Jack
you know.
Dawson.
The more you know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It does feel good to get back into the swing of things because literally for a week I was not telling any ghost stories. I was looking up some stuff and doing some research and talking to folks, but this feels good to be back in here. First letter says, when I was growing up, my father was in the Army. And we were stationed in Northern Virginia during my preteen and teenage years. We lived on a base and had heard stories of an elderly woman who died in what was then my bedroom years before. I didn't think too much of it for quite some time, but one summer we had friends from out of state come visit, but they were there when we spent an entire day in Washington, D.C., did a lot of sightseeing. This was so long ago, and I remember something happened that prevented us from making it back home in a more timely manner. I think that the parking garage we parked our car at was closed by the time we were ready to leave and had to take the metro to get us closer to home before taking a cab the rest of the way, so we didn't get home until pretty late that night. The next day, my best friend who lived right next door to us came over and asked me did we have it at the house the day before? To give a little description of our home, we lived in a row of townhome apartments with practically paper-thin walls. I mean, the walls were so thin that my friend and I could hold full conversations through the wall while getting ready for school in the morning. Well, getting back to the story, she said she knocked on our door the next morning and asked me who we had over because it sounded like there was a party going on throughout the day. She said that she could hear what sounded like people running up and down the stairs. She heard people talking, which sounded like the sound of glasses clinking together. She said that she could hear music playing softly, but it didn't sound like any of the music that she normally heard us playing. She said that it sounded older, kind of like swing or jazz music. I told her that I had no idea of what she was talking about because there wasn't anyone home all day since we were out sightseeing with our friends that were visiting us from out of town. I can't help but think that perhaps this particular event may have been tied to the elderly woman who died in my room years before we moved in. Being fairly sensitive, I never felt anything threatening, although I did at times sense someone watching, but it was just more the feeling like this person was curious about us and what we were doing. There's never a threat. I have to say, I just recently came across your podcast. Enjoy listening to it on my way to and from work, and I'll listen to it while taking my son to and from school, but he won't let me. Congratulations on the new book. I'll be ordering my copy very soon and becoming an EPP member. Thoughts on that situation and the feelings?
If I was to ever have a ghost in my house, I want one that would throw parties.
Yeah.
Because, right? Because a ghost that's having a party is not going to be a really menacing spirit.
No.
Which might be why they didn't really have, you know, it was kind of a surprise to her.
And the thing is, that seems like more of a common thing that you'll hear about in older haunted hotels and such. I've heard that story a gazillion times where if it sounds like there's a party going on in the ballroom at 3 a.m., there's not. It's just the ghosts or whatever. And that to me is really, really fascinating and bizarre. And it's like some people will hear it, some people won't hear it. I don't know, but that seems to be a common story, especially in some of the older, you know, turn of the century type like hotels where there would have been those grandiose parties. I'm almost thinking, you know, Shining-ish type situations.
Yeah, there's a hotel in Chicago that I stayed at that was the rumor, like, there's parties that happen in this ballroom, mm-hmm. but there really aren't parties going on.
That's cool.
But it was cheap, so I stayed there.
Oh, there you go. We were on our way down because we went down to Gulf Shores to look at some stuff. But on the way down on this trip, we were trying to find a halfway point initially and settled on Jackson, Mississippi. I know nothing about Jackson, Mississippi whatsoever other than a TripAdvisor to hotel. And I wanted to find a hotel that had some history, something I could research, something that maybe I could end up getting an episode of The Grave Talks done about, but have some firsthand experience at it. And it was called the King Edward Hotel. And it's one of those turn-of-the-century hotels where it was that sort of a thing, just grandiose, very, you know, just a very rich history. However, in 1960-something, it closed down. And did not reopen. It sat abandoned from the late 60s to about 2009. Just a hulk of a building. And very much like how you would picture, you know, a lot of the abandoned grandiose buildings in Detroit, just sitting there. But somebody came in, fixed it all up, and now it's back to its original grandeur. And there's apartments there as well, but there's also a Hilton, I believe is what it is. And really amazingly beautiful building and just so neat because it was not that long ago that it was abandoned. I was trying to find pictures of it online, like taken, you know, 2009, and I did find some, and then comparing that to the way it looks today, and they did an amazing job. I hope to God that they can really restore a lot of that part of town, because it is, you can see the old architecture, you can see the history, and it is beautiful. And I, you know, obviously it's fallen on some really hard times, and when that happens, you know, you end up having a lot of crime. So I hope this is the start of something new and awesome for that area, because there's such a history there. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hey, Tony and Carol, I'm a big fan of the show, and as fascinated as I am with the paranormal, I can't say that I've had many, if any, experiences in my life. However, there was one thing that I remember from growing up that I've never been able to explain. My childhood home was built in a neighborhood and used to be farmland owned by a family called the Lusbys. In fact, if you look on specific maps in that area, Indianapolis, Crownsville, Maryland, it's referred to as Lusby Crossroads. The neighborhood looks like any other suburban neighborhood, but up the street from where my parents built our home is a Lusby family cemetery. I could see the cemetery from my childhood bedroom, and that really freaked me out. As children, myself and all of our neighborhood kids would go to the graveyard at night hoping to experience something scary or unusual, but nothing ever happened. One day, I was probably between the ages of 8 and 10, but I can't remember for sure. I was walking up the street to a friend's house, and I saw these people standing outside of a cemetery. They had a large van and weren't dressed like they were from this decade. It was the late 90s. Instead, they looked like people from the 60s or 70s. They asked me if this was the graveyard for the Lusby family, and I said yes and kept walking. I got to the end of our road and decided to turn back to see what they were doing because I'd always been curious about the cemetery. When I went back, they were gone. So was the van. My street is a dead end, and it would have been impossible for them to drive out of the neighborhood without passing me on the road. Also, at the time, my home and two or three other homes were the only houses on that road, and the van was not in any of the separate driveways. I never figured out who those people were or where they went. It's a fun experience.
Well, like, people with vans are kind of creepy anyway. And I mean that with all respect to people with vans. I'm thinking more of that, like, older kind of predator van.
What would you define as the older predator van today, in 2018? What defines the predator van?
I still think of a van as the predator van.
Yeah, like the cargo van. Like the airport transport cargo type van?
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe a minivan. Those are kind of weird.
Like a 1994 Town and Country minivan.
Yeah, like one like that. Like, I'm not talking, like, you can't have a nice car, is it?
Sure.
You know. Oh my God, what are we even talking about? Okay, so back to the van at the graveyard.
And the person driving it is, she's just 16 years old. Betty Mardones is driving the van, and he sings it out the window.
That's what I need, is a ghost who can sing creepy songs.
Betty Mardone songs, yeah.
To children. But you know, like, that is weird that there would be a van looking for the Lesby family, but maybe they had a grudge with them? Like, why would they be asking, like, it seems like if there was a ghost, like, they would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lesbys are over there.
I don't get why the ghost is in the van, but it's very questionable because it doesn't seem to, like, tie into the time period. That's the weird part of it. But the fact that they disappeared and there's no way that they could have gotten out of there, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. That's what my reaction is to it. Is it seems paranormal, but the things that were used in it on the other side just don't seem to match up to your typical story. That's what makes it all that more just bizarre.
Well, and you know, you kind of think of ghost stories of being like olden daisy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, grandma's got on this big long skirt. But you know, soon ghosts will not be like that. They will be driving vans and SUVs and stuff. I mean, I just think in your head, that's how you picture it.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes sense that there would be ghosts in a van.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's one of those things where it's a perspective of time where a lot of people you think, oh, it's really old and timey. But I mean, we've heard stories, you know, of and the kids look like they're from the 80s or from the 90s mm-hmm. by what they were wearing. And then you find out there's a tragedy. And yes, they were wearing the MTV T-shirt or what, you know, what have you. And it's like, oh, well, it really doesn't. It doesn't. Ghosts don't discriminate from what time period they're from. If they're dead, yeah. They can possibly be a ghost, it seems. So, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories. It's your phone number. It's our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, my name is Brianna. I currently live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, but was living in Bermanwood, Wisconsin at the time of this story. When I was about 8 years old, my mom was the president of a food pantry in Mattoon, Wisconsin, in which she and many other volunteers, often kids, sorted and distributed food packages and for impoverished families in the county. After a long day of sorting and distributing packages, we were on our way home. I was in the back of my mom's Chevy Suburban with some of my siblings, and she and her best friend were in the driver's and passenger seats. They were talking and chatting as usual when suddenly they fell completely silent. My mom asked her friend if she saw that. I had no idea what that was, but they didn't talk the rest of the way home. When we got home, I overheard them telling my dad about the woman dressed in peasant's clothing, standing in the ditch, slowly waving at them. This could be chalked up to being a prank, except it was raining out, and this woman was completely dry. My older sister happened to be just getting home from her workplace in Wittenberg, Wisconsin, and she said that she saw the weirdest thing. I then proceeded to describe exactly what my mom and her best friend had seen, except they were in two very different locations and seemed to understand the figure at the very same time, or see the figure at the very same time. I wasn't supposed to hear either of these conversations, so I couldn't even chime in to ask about it. However, it scared me enough that I started sleeping with my head under the covers with just enough room for my nose to stick out to breathe. Habits die hard, apparently because I'm 27 and still sleep like this. Loving the show. I'm currently catching up on EPP episodes. Thanks for the entertainment and creeps, Brianna. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, first off, the whole covering up thing kind of made me laugh because since I was a kid, I cannot have my feet out of the sheets. Like, there's no way. My feet have to be covered. Like, I guess my feet won't get grabbed if they're covered.
Just in case, yeah.
Because that's not going to happen. But I'm the same way. Like, I have to cover all the way up. Anyways, but I think that's really interesting. So what do you think that meant? And I wonder if she ever had conversations with them as she got older about, because it seemed like it would have to be significant for them both to see the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would mean something to them. There's a reason why they're seeing that.
Well, I guess I don't know. I mean, was it being selective to them that both of those people saw it, or is this thing just trying to let everyone and anyone that goes down that road know that it's there, and it just happened that it matched up that these two communicated, and that's how that happened? Or was this a thing where it was selective that these two should see this or experience this?
Now, if you saw that, would you stop?
No, I'd probably go really fast and never go down that road again, quite honestly. I'd be finding all sorts of detours around that
because
way.
I would be the person, as weird as I am about stuff, but I think I'd be the person who, like, that woman needs help. She's obviously dressed because she's going to be in a theater production later. I need to go see what's up.
You would have rationalized what was going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'd be so concerned about that woman. Like, she obviously needs help. She's waving at me.
Sure.
But then there's the other side of me that's like, yeah, because then somebody's going to rob me.
Yeah.
But that's crazy that they both saw that.
I oftentimes wonder how often people in this town, in Branson, where I am, think that they're seeing ghosts. Because of all, there's a lot of shows here, obviously, and there's a lot of tribute shows here. And a lot of the tribute artists, there's several that are playing dead artists. But a lot of them still continue to dress that way because it's not just hair and makeup. It's you really have to have that look consistently to do the show. Some of them are playing dead artists. And if you know nothing about Branson, if you're just driving through and you're stopping at the gas station off the highway, and then there's somebody in there that looks like, you know, I'm Elvis is an easy one, but who am I thinking of? Ricky went down in the airplane. Ricky Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Ricky Nelson or something. You'd be like, oh, my God, if you knew the history. I don't know. I mean, it may be one of those things where if you're of the age of where you're at, you know, you're in Branson. I had the question to me the other day when I was talking to someone in one of the tourist towns here, and they're like, oh, where are you from? And I said, Branson. They're like, where is that? So it's in Missouri. What do they do there? And he was like, you know, about a 20-some-year-old, but had no clue what goes on at all in Branson whatsoever, or even that it existed as a town on the map. So I could see someone like that being like, oh, my God, Rod Stewart's shopping at the Dollar General. But maybe he lives here. But
the funny thing is that happened to me in Branson.
Really?
Because I went to see Elvis,
uh-huh.
And then we went to a bar later that night. And here came Elvis. But the funny thing, he was dressed head to toe like Elvis. Like, he owns that look. Like, I bet he goes to bed in his Elvis robe and gets up and in his Elvis jammies. And because, like, he owns it. I'm like, that guy doesn't even own regular clothes. I think he goes around as Elvis all the time.
Well, you get that. And it's not about dead people half the time around here. Sometimes it's about the living that you just run into in this town. And there was the Rod Stewart impersonator looks just like Rod Stewart. And I run into him a lot around town. And he has to have the hair going all the time. It's like, oh, hey, look, Rod's at the Dollar Tree. And it's interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear a story.
Hi, I wanted to tell you a story that happened to me and my family back in 2001. My mother divorced my father when I was 10 and remarried to my stepfather. My stepfather, Pablo, had cancer, pancreatic cancer, and he passed away September 14th, 2001, right before Christmas. He battled cancer for about a year and a half and was very strong until the very end. Christmas was always a big event in my mother's house. We always got together, his family, my mom's side of the family, and we just had a huge, huge party. So obviously Christmas that year was going to be a little bit different. His family still came over, and so did my mom's side of the family. And my brother's ex-wife had a sister who was dating some guy, and the guy ended up coming over and was outside, and he was walking in to the driveway of my mom's house, and he noticed that there was a guy in the front yard of my mom's house. And he was wearing a jacket, and he had a mustache, and this man told this other guy, "Hey, do you have a cigarette?" And this one guy was like, "Well, no, I don't. I have some cigarettes, but you know, it's in the house." So the guy was like, "Well, why don't we go inside the? We had a bar area, in my mother's house, and that's something that my stepfather built when he was alive. He, like I said, he loved throwing parties, so he built an actual patio and it had a bar area. And so this mysterious man said, let's go smoke inside the bar area. And so the other guy figured, okay, well, he knows his family because he knows that there's a bar area, and he knows, you know, kind of like, I guess, the layout of the patio. And so this guy ends up going in first, and the mysterious man was walking behind him. And so once the guy crossed over to the patio, he turned around and he looked, and the mysterious man that asked him for a cigarette was gone. And, you know, my sister-in-law's sister's boyfriend freaked out, and he ended up telling my brother and my other uncles. I live in a family where law enforcement, everybody's in law enforcement, so my brother said, you know, we're going to go around the back of the backyard, you know, what if it was somebody that, you know, wanted to just come in and, you know, steal something. So my brother got his gun and was looking in the backyard, and they went down the street, and you know, they couldn't find this mysterious man. And so the guy, he was just sitting down, and he was just in shock because he just didn't know who this man was. And one of my family members asked him, "Well, what does he look like?" And he said, "Well, he had dark hair, he had a mustache, and he had this jacket." And we had a picture of my stepfather nearby, and my relative asked him, "Well, does it look like him?" And the guy looked at my stepfather's picture and said, yes, that was the man that was behind me, and he asked me for a cigarette, and he was walking behind me, like, going into the bar area of the house. And he wasn't aware that my stepfather had died a few months ago. And my mother was crying, as you know, it's natural. We were all in shock. And I don't believe that this man would have said that, you know, on purpose, would have lied about it. We were still in grieving. But I honestly do believe that it was my stepfather. There was a lot of things that happened after that. There was this one instance where it was in the same bar area. My best friend and I, we were sitting on a table. We were drinking. We were watching TV. And my uncle was just taking random pictures, you know, of us. And behind us was a window. And there's the door. And when my uncle took a picture, his face changed. And I was like, whatever, you know, you're just trying to scare us. And he's like, no, I'm done taking pictures. And I said, well, what do you mean? And my best friend got up and looked at the picture first, and she was like stunned. And I looked at the picture, and it was my stepfather's face in the window. I put both picture of him when he was alive next to the picture of that face in the window, and you can see his mustache, you can see his dark hair, and you can see that there's a face in the window. And there's been a lot of things that have happened in my mother's house. I hope that it is him. I wish that he would rest. Like I said, he suffered with pancreatic cancer for a long time. But there's this comfort knowing that he may still be around watching over us. But he was a very good man in life, and in death, I know that he still continues to be a good man, because he was always very protective of his family. And I still think that, you know, he's just watching over us, protecting us. Thank you for listening to my story. I really love listening to all the stories. I love your show. And I will call in for more stories later on. Thanks.
What do you think about that one?
I thought it was fascinating. But don't you think at that one point, because when she said, I wish he could rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brain went to, but he probably doesn't want to. And then she said, but he's probably, you know, watching out for them. And I think he would. I think that, you know, that gets to be his choice if he wants to rest or not. You know, I think if you have unfinished business and you have family that's still here, mm-hmm. and you want to protect them and watch over them, I think it's beautiful.
I completely agree. I think that's one of those things where wanting the ghost to rest or to cross to a certain place is very much a living idea. I think, you know, they're on that side. I think they probably have a better grasp on what they can and can't do and what they should do and what they want to do than we do. I think it's quite an assumption on this side sometimes where we're like, well, they should do this. It's like, no, I'm over here now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, or I'll do what I'm going to do. You guys do what you're going to do and we'll all get along fine. You don't need to keep telling me to cross over, you know?
Unless they're really mean and assholes.
Well, that's a totally different story. Yeah, that's... there's a little line there, Tony. Little different, but even then, that's where you're really kind of stuck in the situation of, I really want you to cross over and stop being an asshole, but maybe it's more so
you're an asshole in the world, in this life too.
Yeah, it's maybe not so much. Well, can we get you some therapy as a ghost? Can ghosts get there, you know, and help you have
there's a business there,
better outlook on things on the other side, you know.
But what I thought was interesting about her story was that he's outside. Like, he was outside the window. The boyfriend guy saw him outside. Like, they don't see him inside. And maybe, you know, he made himself known to the boyfriend because maybe the boyfriend was open to, you know, he could make him known to that guy. But it's interesting that they it didn't sound like they really feel him, but nobody else has really seen him outside of that picture and the one guy.
Yeah. It's different. Yeah.
He's probably just trying to be there to watch out for them.
He's just being the, it's a very positive spirit. And that's
I think so.
When I get out of that. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that is going to wrap up this episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of the show. More than 200 of them now over at ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps this thing alive. Check out our Facebook group. And join that, our other program, The Grave Talks. Check that out as well if you like interviews on haunted topics. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com, to support the show. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.